Bless and peace on you. Troy Brewer coming at you strong from my super secret silo hidden deep beneath a trailer park in Johnson County, Texas. That's where my secret lair is. Actually, man, I'm coming to you from the studios behind a pulpit. Yeah, I mean, they're literally behind the pulpit. Now, not directly behind, but then there's a wall, and then there's another wall, and then here we are. And today, guys, we're going to do... Listen, this is going to be the coolest podcast that you've heard in a long time, and the reason why is because I'm not the guy leading it. There's somebody a whole lot cooler than me that's going to be leading it. Pastor Darren Stott. From the revival, Revival Center, the Seattle Revival Center. Listen, I did a podcast with him, and it was supposed to be a 30-minute interview, and then he ended up, you know, just talking his head off. He wouldn't be quiet. I was like, oh, my God. Actually, no, man, he was an excellent host, and we're actually going to be able to get a couple of podcasts out of that one. So here's the deal. Get ready for this. This special podcast is, wait for it,
number 54.
Can you feel it? Can you feel the power? Can you feel it? Yeah, it's anointed. Listen, he began to ask me questions about redeeming time. He began to ask me questions about how time works. He began to ask me about timelines. And then he began to ask me crazy, stupid, cool questions on what do you think about aliens? Well, I'm not making that up. And why? Because he's from Seattle and they're all weirdos. So listen, you're gonna love this. And by the way, if you have never plugged into Pastor Darren Stott's podcast, he interviews some of the most amazing people on the planet Earth, and he does a great job. Just look up Pastor Darren Stott at the Seattle Revival Center. All right, friends, we're gonna go to Seattle, and I was there just a few weeks ago, and it's a Tuesday. There's a room full of people, and I'm up on stage with him. Here we go.
Today, it's such an honor to have
Fred Sanford.
Pastor Troy.
Yes, that's my name.
Pastor Troy Brewer.
Yes.
Come on, what's up?
It is I, fear not. That's the scripture. Everything I say is the Bible.
I know. This is going to be amazing.
I'm so glad to be here,
You've been blowing our minds since you got here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You guys are very, very, very teachable. Y'all have changed my message. I came up here to show you guys how smart I actually was, and I didn't get to any of that. All I did was show you guys how crazy I am.
That was your dumb stuff? Yeah.
There's really not much of a smart bone in me. There's a huge Jesus bone in me. Kingdom bone in me, But nonetheless, no. Last night was great. I actually ended up teaching on time and on bringing redemption into timelines. And then today I was talking about maintaining your passion and why we have to be passionate people. But you guys already know this stuff. I mean, y'all, it's not like I'm bringing something you guys are not already walking in. I'm just bringing a different layer.
Come on.
And I love
now,
that.
Now, pause, as James Gall would say, pause. Really quick. This is going to bother me. This is kind of blocking your...
Don't hurt me. I'm a bleeder. Okay. Thank you.
I'm good.
We'll
be able to kind of see you.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot we had a camera on. Hi, guys. How y'all doing? Call you blessed. Camera two.
The time thing last night.
Yeah, the time thing.
Inviting redemption, inviting Christ himself.
Yep.
Into anywhere in your timeline, knowing that when you invite him in, that his redemptive grace comes in and begins restoring everything out. Yep. And from that point forward and back. That was powerful.
Well, I came to a realization several years ago of what time is all about. I've been studying time since I was a very young man, and I love time. I like H.G. Wells. I like time travel. Yeah. I love anything that has to do with time travel and fun stuff like that. But I come to realize that in the kingdom that time was created by God for the purposes of redemption, and that a lot of people actually think that God is time somehow, you know, the whole time, you know, Father time, right? Because there's actually a confusion. People think that God and time are that. Listen, God created this table and God created time just like he created this table. This table has a purpose and time has a purpose. And this table has a beginning and an end, and time has a beginning and an end. And time was created for the purposes of redemption. So when you bring redemption into a time change, or I should say into time, it actually changes the flow of time. And so last night I was walking you guys through that and just saying, hey, this is how it is in the book of Genesis. This is where we know the timeline begins. We can actually tell biblically, Pastor, what's your name? Fred. Pastor Fred. Thank you. Jason. And I know what your name is, Darren. Yeah. So anyway, there's
Carl, Bruce, Henry.
Sorry.
John, go on. Jacob. Jacob.
Okay.
That let's start over. Let's run the beginning. Intro again. And
you can actually tell where the timeline begins and where the timeline ends. The timeline actually begins at the fall of Adam. It doesn't begin at the birth of Adam. It begins at the fall of Adam, because Adam did not enter into the timeline until the day that he sinned. And the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. A day is to the Lord 1,000 years, and he died 930 years later. So he entered into the day. The clock started ticking for him when he entered into sin. So I know that time and space and matter are in perfect continuum, meaning you cannot separate them, but it's also in perfect continuum with sin and death. So what that means is Adam was not subject to time, to space, or to matter until he was subject to sin and death. So at the very end of the timeline is actually the great white throne judgment. And then it says after that final act of redemption is done and the final judgment has taken place, it says, and time shall be no more. And then we enter into eternity future. But the 7,000 year timeline from 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus, 2,000 years from Jesus until now, we're right near the rapture of the church. So I'm never allowed to say the word rapture. And then
edit that part out.
Would you edit that? Thank you. And then we enter into the last 1,000 years or the millennial reign of King Jesus or the seventh day of rest, right? And rest is not inactivity. Rest is when Jesus has dominion and has rule without opposition, when he's fully made manifest. And then at the end of that is the great white throne judgment, and then time is no more. We don't need time anymore. Why? Because there's no more purposes of redemption. The plan of redemption has finally been accomplished. So what that means is if you have time, you can enter plans of redemption into time that changes time.
Fascinating. You were saying that sin puts us into the clock.
That's correct. Yeah. So,
and that time began at the fall in Genesis 3.
Yep.
And yet time wasn't the result of the curse. That time was almost this blessing that the Lord hardwired or embedded into the human condition at that point.
Time is a blessing from God. It was like the secret weapon. It was the trick up God's sleeve that he had, that if Adam sinned, he would fall into time. And time is the only place that you can work an act of redemption through relationship that says, that was then, this is now, and this is the promise of the future.
Wow.
So as soon as Adam sinned, he fell into that and went, oh no, where am I? And then God shows up in Genesis 3 and gives the promise of the seed of the woman and says, the Messiah is going to come through you, through humanity, and actually enter into humanity. And so you see God revealing through his relationship all these layers of the story of redemption throughout the centuries, but it's in a place that is throughout the centuries. Einstein has this famous thing where he says, time is God's way of keeping everything from happening at once.
That's awesome.
God didn't want it to all happen at once. He would risk everything for the sake of relationship with us. And I love that. He does that within a time frame. And the only way we can enter into that is to fall. And he knew we were going to fall. He created us in such a way that he literally risked everything, knowing that we were going to fall, but also knowing that he could have relationship with us in this time frame, that he could reward us for eternity for how we knew him inside the timeline.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. And there's something that's happening, a parallel between what's happening in the church right now and versus what's happening in the world in our understanding of time and perhaps even some of the scriptures that we've read for years in regards to how time changes once your own storyline gets redeemed and restored in the cross, when Jesus said that he, whoever believes in me, would not perish, right? Would not die.
Come on.
But would have everlasting life.
Okay, that's a time shift.
Yeah.
Because you go from losing everything to gaining everything. All right. Paul said, for me to die is gain. Like, how does that work? Okay. So what happens is, in the flow of unredeemed time, time is this great equalizer. It's kind of like, you know, Samuel Colt invented a pistol, and he's the one that made man equal, right? Yeah. It's like God didn't create man equal. Samuel Colt did. Once everybody had a gun, then they were all equal, right? Okay. Well, time is like that kind of a pistol that says, I don't care how big you are. I don't care how big I am. It doesn't matter. We're all subject to this thing. And so what happens is within a timeline, within the time that all of us belong to, what's real is everybody in non-redeemed time is losing everything. Hmm. We're losing everything. We are perishing. Okay. And time, if you're unredeemed, time makes sure that there's an ending to that. If you are redeemed, time makes sure that you are gaining everything. If you're unredeemed, time makes sure that you are losing everything. But if you are redeemed, time makes sure that you are gaining everything.
It's amazing. It's awesome.
And that's how God created time to work. So
it's past, like a restorative government around redeemed time.
Around redeemed time.
Operating within the life of a son.
Exactly.
That's
and which
beautiful.
Which is all about relationship, right? That happens within a timeline.
Wow.
So the Bible gives us all, so we know that there's different kinds of time. So like just in our own vernacular, we would say, okay, there's past time, there's present time, and there's future time, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the Bible lists all kinds of time, okay? Like the Bible talks about times and seasons. Times are timelines and seasons are time circles. Mm. Mm. Okay. And linear time has a beginning and has an end. And a linear time is always centered around some epic event. Circular time is seasonal. And the Hebrew word for circular time is called moedim. And it means prophetic appointment. And it's meant to be incredibly predictable. Wow. You know, so if it's fall time, I know winter time is coming. If winter time is coming, I know spring time is coming. Well, just exactly like that, when it comes to times and seasons, mm-hmm. they are meant to be predictable. So one of the things that you find is anytime in the Old Testament or even Jesus in his ministry, when he's acting in a prophetic form, he's going circular. Wow. So when it says, and Jesus went about in a circle preaching, he's being prophetic.
Wow. Right.
The Old Testament judges, they had a circuit. They were circuit people. Okay. So if they're going in a line, they are actually doing a specific purpose for a specific era that has beginning and ending. But if they go in a circle, they're acting prophetically and they're adding line upon line, precept upon precept, faith to faith, glory to glory, from everlasting unto everlasting, from deep unto deep, all these different terms that we have for time. But there's some other terms for time as well. There is, you can actually see redeemed time and unredeemed time all the way through the Bible. And you can actually see it in the language of the Word of God. Like it will say, and when the time had passed, that is a picture of unredeemed time because it's things passing away. Or they will say, or when the time had come, that is a picture of redeemed time. And the scriptures that follow that are either going to be unredeemed or it's going to demonstrate a redemptive virtue of God or an unredemptive virtue of man, depending upon how that scripture starts off, because it's talking about what kind of time frame it's in. So I studied the last words of people. I don't know if you do that or not, but I'm a weirdo and I study the last words of famous people. I know that the last words of Frank Sinatra, who I love Frank Sinatra, is I'm losing it. I'm losing it. I'm losing it.
Wow.
All right,
wow.
I'm not saying that he's not redeemed. I'm saying he was experiencing unredeemed time. Because in a redeemed version of time, you're gaining it. You're gaining it. You're gaining it. You're gaining it. Okay. And so what we got to do, bro, is we have to bring redemption into our time frames as stewards of our timeline. We are given a number of days, right?
That's right.
And there is a wisdom to operate in that number of days. And you're expected to operate in that wisdom. You know, teach us, O Lord, to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom, right? There is a supernatural wisdom about the days that you and I live in. And if you're out of sync with the timing, it's an indication that you're cursed. Okay. In Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, It says, in the morning you will say, I wish it was evening. And in the evening you'll say, I wish it was morning, because you will not obey the word of the Lord. What that means is when you're not walking in sync with God's word, you walk out of sync with timing. And when you're single, you wish you were married. When you're married, you wish you were single. When you don't have kids, you wish you had kids. When you do have kids, you wish you didn't. When they're in the house, you wish they're out of the house. When they're out of the house, you wish they ran the house. And you get everything you have ever wanted, but you never experience it because of the timing is off.
Wow. Wow.
So redemption brings perfect timing. And perfect timing is everything. What was the That's curse amazing. That Jesus spoke upon Jerusalem? You missed your day of visitation. Hmm. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He stood in the very place where David had stood with Absalom, Absalom, 1,000 years, probably to the day, to the very day. When King David prophetically cried over the loss of Absalom and cried out over Jerusalem. Okay, well, the grave of Absalom is right there at the in the Kidron Valley at the base of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus was standing right there on the Mount of Olives at the base of the Mount of Olives, crying out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, just like David had 1,000 years earlier. Son of peace. Now he's saying city of peace, right? And then he says, how I've sent you the prophets and you killed them. And he says, you have missed your day of visitation. You're out of sync. You're out of sync, and you're not going to bear any good fruit because you're out of sync.
Wow.
So when we learn to cooperate with God in the timing of things, when we learn to cooperate with God and to give him our times, when we learn to invite God Almighty into every single moment of our lives, we bring redemption into it. And when we bring redemption into it, we gain the kingdom in all of those places instead of losing our lives in all those places.
That is so good. You know, what's fascinating to me is like two big hot topics for you, two things that you're really, really passionate about. And then there are many, many things, but two things that stand out to me and how, again, it parallels with the culture is regarding space or the cosmos, the study of the heavens, and this idea of time. So you've been alluding to these two different topics just in the last 2 days. I'm thinking about like the fascination right now within billionaires. You have like Elon Musk, you have like Peter Diamandis or whatever and all these different guys. Like, and like, there's this thing right now about like, let's get humanity into the cosmos, right? And it's a passion, it's a fascination, it's a fierce commitment. Like, we have a responsibility as a race to get up where we belong, and that is in the heavens. And then you've got this parallel thing happening as well. Billions of dollars going into this idea of making man immortal, that mortality should have never been a part of our original code. So how can we hack the human condition to unlock the original blueprint of the human thing? And so I find that really fascinating, in that billions of dollars are being spent right now in our generation to unlock perhaps God's original blueprint for us as a race, but also, which is maybe what was happening at Tower of Babel, of trying to use some sort of technology to unlock in order to access realms illegally and that kind of thing, right? But then this is a passion of yours as far as redeeming our understanding, especially when it comes to the sun, moon, stars, any sort of redemptive value of looking at God's communication through the stars. Mm. Most Christians would say, careful, brother. You know, careful.
Yeah,
we can't. But no. So I find it fascinating, man, just like hearing these things that you're passionate about, but also seeing that it's part, that there's something in the human condition right now that's saying, we're not just fascinated about this, we're willing to spend billions of dollars in order to advance our understanding of what's happening here.
Yeah, well, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light, unfortunately. And Jesus by himself said, Jesus, by the way, said that himself.
Who would say such a thing?
Yeah, who would put down the people of God? Jesus.
That is offensive. What would Jesus say?
Well, you know, whenever people say, hey, man, you shouldn't look into these things. As a Christian, you shouldn't look into these things. Like, okay, if you're going to look at the heavens, and if you're, by the way, it's 222.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Acts 2:22 is the only scripture in the entire Bible that has all three words, signs, miracles, and wonders. Hmm. But the word wisdom is in the Bible 222 times.
Wow.
So let the wisdom of God be made manifest in signs, miracles, and wonders in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm sorry. I just couldn't help but notice the time.
That's awesome.
And I want to be in sync. Okay. So I'm constantly aware of that.
That's so good.
But you know, whenever
I need to start watching the clock.
You
more,
do. You know? I'll tell you, God will speak to you through that clock.
It's 2:23, Pastor. You know what that means.
I don't have a clue
what that means.
I do.
You do.
Because I'm crazy.
That's awesome. But, you're not crazy. You're passionate.
I am passionate.
Come on.
But whenever we look into, like, okay, you mentioned the Tower of Babel. Okay, everybody, if you go all the way back, and again, the language image of God, where he says afterwards, he says, and now the people is one. Mm. And he wasn't misspeaking when he said that. He said, there's nothing that they can imagine to do that they can't accomplish. So I'm going to have to divide them up. Okay, and that's a huge word for the unity of the body of Jesus right now, which is a huge thing that God is after. God is looking for unity. And unity is not agreement. Wow. I keep telling everybody that, well, we got to be in agreement. No, we don't.
Wow.
I've been married 32 years. I have a rock star wedding, and I have a rock star marriage. I hardly ever agree with my wife.
Wow.
She's a chick.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm only allowed one animal head in my house. I do not agree with that. She paints my house like it's a Mexican restaurant. It's purple and yellow and green. She does. Yeah. She's a trip. I don't agree with any of that, but I think she's cool.
Yeah.
Like, she's cool, man. She's a nut, but she's cool. I'm fascinated with her, right? But I'm not in agreement with her. Well, that whole thing within the body of Jesus, well, brother, we have to be in agreement. Well, we're not going to be in agreement because you ain't like me and I ain't like you and I'm not trying to be like you.
That's so
good. We need to be one. We need to be in covenant together.
That's so good.
So going back to the Tower of Babel, that building was an astrological structure. Everybody thinks that it was a tower that the top was, that they were trying to get the top into heaven. That's not what it says. It says the top was as the heavens. It was astrological. It was as the heavens.
Right.
And it was like any modern, okay, if you go back like a couple of years ago, Leanne and I went to Giza and I climbed the Great Pyramid, which is illegal. You can get arrested for that, I discovered. So, but there was no way I was going to go to the pyramid without climbing it. I'm sorry. There's no way I'm climbing it. And so I climbed it.
Good thing you're fast.
Caused an international incident, which I'm sorry. But with that said, the thing about the Great Pyramid is that it's an astrological structure. It tells you when the summer solstice is and tells you when the winter solstice is. It's an astrological structure. The Tower of Babel was exactly like that. And this is what it was. Its top was as the heavens, or in other words, it was astrological. And this is what they were going to do. Okay. So it had the 12 major signs, and there's at least 360 constellations in the heavens, but there's only 12 that are a sign or that the ecliptic passes through or that the sun passes through. That's what makes it a sign. Okay. And there's 12 of those. You're like, well, wait a minute, that's the devil. No. The Bible says in Genesis 1:14, the 14th verse of the Bible says, and God created the sun and the moon and the stars for signs, for seasons and for days and for years. God created those for signs. The devil didn't create those for signs. The devil hijacked it. And we turned it over to him because we're a bunch of cowards. Okay. And I'm not. I'm just not afraid.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to be like that. So whenever they did that, the top was as the heavens, and this is what they were going to do. It's Romans 1. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay, they became vain in their imaginations. In other words, they loved the knowledge so much, they felt godlike in knowing the knowledge, and they left God out of everything.
Wow. Wow.
And then they became vain in their imagination, they became fools. Fools means faithless. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So foolishness and faithlessness go hand in hand. So here's what they did. They had this astrological structure that was called the Tower of Babel, and then God divided them up. He turned them into races and cultures of the world so that they would not be able to identify with each other, would not be able to understand each other, and he compelled them to, I've got to go to China, I've got to go to North America, I've got to go to here, and when they went there, they built pyramids in all those places. That's why there's ancient pyramids all throughout the world, because they're actually from pre-Babylon. Okay, now the Babylonians got, because that's Babel, okay, which would turn into Babylon. The Babylonians got a hold of that same stuff, and they created this whole thing. They did not create the zodiac. The Bible calls it the Maseroth in the book of Job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And probably Moses is the writer of Job. Most people think that Moses wrote the book of Job. Maybe he did, maybe he did not. Job is considered to be the oldest book in the Bible outside of the book of Enoch, but which is not the Bible. But with all that said, in the book of Job, it mentions God asks him, he says, can you loose the bands of Orion? Can you loose the bands of Orion?
Right.
And he also says, can you stop the influence of Pleiades?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even the word influence, means the influence of the stars. It comes from the influence of the stars. A fluid, a powerful force coming from the stars. Like, what? Why would God mention all that if that's the devil? Why would God say, what is? Okay, because here's the deal. The deal is this. Those stories that are within the heaven give us the redemptive plan of the Father saying, I will redeem you. And before it was written in the Bible, it was written in the heavens. So God had programmed every single human being to walk outside, to look up and go, I know what that is. That clump of stars, if I connect the dots, that's actually a virgin woman who has a seed in her. Well, that's impossible. A virgin woman cannot have a seed within her. Yet we know that sign is Virgo, the virgin, and it's the first of 12. And the one that follows that is Libra, which says, okay, there will be a Messiah. Now I want you to know there's a price that has to be paid, and he will be a redeemer. The one after that is Scorpio. What is this? He's going to have to take on death. The one that is after that is Sagittarius. What is this? He will rise up. He will take on death and he will win. If you go through all 12 of those, you get to the 12th one and it's Leo, which is the lion of the tribe of Judah coming back in Revelation chapter 22.
Wow.
Okay. So the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day it utters speech. So daytime is for hearing God speak. Night unto night it reveals knowledge. So God speaks differently at nighttime than he does it in the daytime. Right on? Are y'all tracking with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry about them. I'm with you.
Okay, right. Thanks, yeah. man. So he's
what?
Like,
what?
Where am I?
Nighttime.
So he's like, okay, I want you to see this and I want you to contemplate on some things, okay? And I want you to see outside of your world at night.
Wow.
In the daytime, I want you to hear me speak to you inside of your world. At nighttime, I want you to see outside of your world and contemplate things that are not in your world.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how God designed things.
Yeah.
All right. For people to tell me today, which by the way, it's lazy and it's faithless theology to tell me, don't be looking into those things because you're going to get in trouble. Here's what I say. You don't say that about sex.
Yeah, they do.
Right. You don't say that about money. Yeah. Christian's right. Like, well, you might get in trouble if right. you spend money.
Right, oh. right, right.
Has anybody ever done anything terrible with money? Has anybody ever done anything terrible with sex?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And yet they'll be happily involved in all those things.
Right.
But don't be involved in glorifying God through the numerical values of things, which all those things are to glorify God or how the heavens declare because we might get in trouble. Oh, that's so limp-wristed. And what's real is Jesus is coming back soon and the heavens declare that. The heavens declare it. By the way, do you know what's right out in front of the Great Pyramid?
No.
There's this giant statue out there, and I know that you know it's called the Sphinx.
Oh, yeah.
The Sphinx tells us where the story begins in the heavens and where the story ends in the heavens. Now, because
wow.
see, the witches and the warlocks who have hijacked the Zodiac, they say that it begins at Aries and it ends at Pisces. Baloney. It does not. And the reason why they don't know where it begins and where they ends is because they're out of sync because they don't know the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know Jesus to be able to understand this story. And if you don't know Jesus, you'll be out of sync. That's why nobody ever needs to heed the counsel of a witch in what their sign is because they're out of sync. And if you prophesy out of sync, you prophesy a curse.
Yeah, that's so good.
They're out of sync. Don't listen to them. Okay, now I can tell you this. It does not begin with Aries and anyone with Pisces. It begins with Virgo and it ends with Leo. You know how I know that? One of the ways I know that is because that's how the Bible is, Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. But another way that I know that is because guarding the world famous astrological structure known as the Great Pyramid is the Sphinx. And what is it? It is the head of the woman and the body of a lion. Mm. It tells us where the story begins and where the story ends. Mm. The word Sphinx means to join together. It means to join or to unite. It's where you join the seasons together.
Wow.
Mystery of the Sphinx solved, and I'm from Joshua, Texas.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I know all humanity has been waiting for me to do that. I didn't actually discover that.
Amazing.
E.W. Bullinger, I read that in an E.W. Bullinger book, and then I went to Egypt, and checked all that out. I was like, okay, right on. That's what it is. So I'm just saying this, that when it comes to time and when it comes to space and when it comes to the heavens, it's all screaming the same thing. Jesus is coming back soon.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not pie in the sky. And we cannot give up the return and our hope in the return of the glorious and imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We're not waiting on the tribulation. We're waiting on Jesus to come
back.
We're looking for Jesus, our blessed hope. And there's a big part of the church, again, that does not have the courage or the faith or the stamina to look for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, man, I'm looking for Jesus. It's all screaming the same thing.
From the very beginning, the Lord has called our tribe to be the hands and the feet of King Jesus to the poor and to the world's most vulnerable. We have been demonstrating the heart of the Lord in at least 53 nations throughout the world by building nearly 100 water wells, schools and homes for orphans, leprosy villages in India, and even now, we are feeding more than 3,000 people every single week right here in the United States through our local food banks. Several years ago, we built a massive effort to save boys and girls from the terrors of sexual slavery. You know, the number of redeemed children is now in the thousands, thousands of kids rescued, and those numbers are growing every single day. When you partner with Troy Brewer Ministries, not only are you helping me preach the gospel, but you're actually helping me demonstrate it through selfless acts of redemption and also helping us see a little boy or a little girl saved in every way that a child can be saved. We know we can't do it alone, so we're asking you to prayerfully consider being a part of our tribe. When you call us today or when you go to troybrewer.com and once you partner with us, not only will you receive the blessing of God for this great kingdom effort, but you will also receive free access to our video teaching platform at troybrewer.tv. It's video on demand, point, click, and have your life change. It's all of my school of ministry, all of my school of prophecy, all of my videos called Numbers That Preach, all of my pulpit teaching, and even all of my conferences with guests from all over the planet Earth. This is our free gift to all of our monthly partners, and I encourage you to take advantage of it. Go to troybrewer.com and partner with us today.
So let me ask you about this whole thing, like, you know, as far as the days of Noah and these days that we're coming into, right, you know, and life longevity and the whole thing of like man's lifetime being limited to 120 years and that already being undone, you know, that humans are living longer than that. And also just some of the stuff that is coming out regarding, you know, life longevity and this whole thing. What do you think is going to happen there? Do you think how far do you think that the Lord's going to allow that to go as far as, and do you think that that is in alignment with what he wants for us? Or do you feel like that is almost like man's attempt to play God?
I don't think there's anything wrong with people wanting to live as long as they want to live. And I don't think there's anything wrong with people wanting to have mastery in their life. I think it's kingdom. I don't think there's anything wrong with people wanting to be healthy and to go after and say, if I can live past 70 years, and I will live past 70 years, if it's possible, I can do that. I'm all for that. I'm also here to tell you this, that the closer and closer and closer that we get towards the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's two things that are happening. One is men's hearts are filling them for fear for the things that they see coming upon the earth. And the other one is people are so full of hope that people are asking, why do you have so much hope? There's this dual thing that's happening at the same exact time. With that said, when it comes to technology, when it comes to genetics, and when it comes to human beings, and when it comes to all that, in the days of Noah, there is actually demonic manipulation in genetics. Mm-hmm. And it's all about to stop the Messiah from showing up.
Wow.
That's what it's all about.
Wow.
Okay. And so, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes with this, but the verse for it in the Word of God is, again, it happened again, even after the flood, where it says, where the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and found them fair, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then there were Nephilim and giants within those days and all those kinds of things. Well, whenever God Almighty told the people of Israel, when they entered into the promised land, he said, now here's the deal, Pickle. I don't want you intermingling with any of these other people in there. And it wasn't because God was a racist. It was because their seed was contaminated, and it was contaminated, a bloodline was actually contaminated so that it would stop the promise of the Messiah.
Wow.
Okay, so and even today, if you hate a Jew, you're not going to hate a Jew because he's black or because he's white, because there are black Jews and there are white Jews.
That's right.
You're not going to hate him because of his politics, because Jews are either right wing of Attila the Hun or they're left wing of Gandhi, right? Or you're not going to hate them because they're European or whatever. You're going to hate them because of their blood. Wow. People hate Jews because they hate the blood of Jews.
Wow. Wow.
How in the world can you hate somebody because of their blood? It's ridiculous. But there is a hatred in the midst of humanity towards the bloodline of the Jewish people. I saw the book of Matthew and the book of Luke starts off giving us the bloodline. And by the way, there's 77 generations from Adam to Jesus. That's listed in Matthew, right? Mm-hmm. And those 77 is a number that represents the church. And so Jesus was the 77th from Adam. Okay, and it's a number that represents church. Even the word church is in the Bible 77 times. The term house of God is in the Bible 77 times, right?
Yeah.
It's a witness of the Spirit of God being made manifest, 7-7. Okay, all right, so with that said, in the days of Noah, not only did God preserve Noah in his house because he found them faithful, he preserved Noah and in their house because their blood was not contaminated.
Wow. Wow.
And that was a really, really, really big deal.
Wow.
It was a big deal because the promise of that seed, God had promised. So what does that mean? It means this. Hmm. It means that within genetics and within physical compounds and physical properties, there is a redemptive way that you can invade it and heaven invades it. And there's a non-redemptive way that you can invade it and hell invades it.
Yeah,
amen. Absolutely. Or hell is made manifest.
Yeah.
I think the promise of the Antichrist, though there are many Antichrists, the Bible says that, and the Antichrist spirit is alive today.
Absolutely.
I don't know if the person of the Antichrist is alive and well today. I believe that there's a good chance that he possibly is. But I want to tell you, his bloodline is not a God bloodline.
Wow.
It's a contaminated bloodline.
Wow.
And so within us are the promises of Abraham going all the way back to Abraham. And when we tapped into the blood of Jesus, we tapped into a holy bloodline that literally infiltrated us. I don't have a Jewish bone in me. The only Jew I've got in me is King Jesus. I've looked for it. I did the DNA test.
Did you?
I just knew it was going to spike on Jew. Like, look, I'm a secret Jew. I knew it. Like, man, I knew nothing. It. Ain't nothing but Italians and crazy people. And I don't know. So I'm like, what the heck? I got Italians and Vikings and Brits and all these people that had never accomplished anything, right? So I'm like, okay. I just knew there was going to be this Jew spike. Like, I knew it. Nope, nothing. Not even a smidgen. So I'm like, dang. Well, I went before the Lord and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I kind of felt Jewish, man, because I have this huge, I love Israel and I love the Jewish people and I love all this. And the Lord told me, Troy, the blood of Jesus speaks better things than out of the blood of Abel.
Wow. Wow.
And I was like, oh yeah, it sure does. No, I tapped into the righteous blood and I tapped into it. And the blood of Jesus is the bloodline. And I tap into that by faith. And that, by the way, is an important principle going back to this thing that has to do with time. Because you need to know that if you need the blood of the Lamb applied to you, you can't physically go back through time and touch the blood of the Lamb unless you do it by faith.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's faith.
That's right.
That gives us access to the blood of the Lamb that was applied on a physical cross in physical Israel, physically 2,000 years back in a time realm. But we have access. We literally time travel. We literally just supersede time and distance because of faith.
That's right.
Again, another example of that.
And I want to ask you about, the Jessica Rabbit warden, crazy prison, you almost lost your life story. So I want to dive into that before we do, let's say I'm a 14-year-old boy in your church. And I call you up on the phone at the church and I say, because this has been a crazy year, right? 2020, we've had the COVID going around. We've had the riots, all this stuff going. But I don't know. I'm sure you've seen this, like on the news. You've got this thing flying through the air, like, and this was the Pentagon has released videos this year. Do you know what I'm talking about? Of these unidentified fly-in objects.
You're so from Seattle.
And this
man.
Is like, and this has been on the news. Like our government is releasing footage of UFOs. Like this isn't like the National Enquirer.
I can't believe this you could ask me like, anything because you know I'm going to go off on this.
No,
you're trying to get me in trouble.
No, this
you
isn't coming from me. This isn't coming from me. Okay, this is coming from a 14-year-old boy in your church that says, Pastor Troy, my mom and dad, they don't want to talk to me about this. Pastor Troy, are there UFOs? Are there aliens out? What is this? Pastor Troy, tell me.
If tomorrow, if a spaceship landed in the Rose Garden tomorrow and wanted to meet our president, number one, I'd pray Trump was in a good mood. That's what I'd pray. And number two, I would not be able to wait to have my next church service. I couldn't wait. I'd be like, oh,
to
that's
have an
what
extra
I'm talking
service
about. Yeah, let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready to have a move of God. Now, let me tell you what
it's
I mean by
that. It's finally time for revival.
What I mean by that is literally my faith in King Jesus is unshakable with an understanding that there's tons of things I don't understand.
Yeah.
I love Jesus.
Yeah, come
and
on.
Jesus is real and he's coming back. Is there stuff I don't understand? Oh, you bet. There's all kinds of stuff I don't understand. Well, so with that said, you're like, well, wait a minute. Troy, wouldn't that mean different things? Well, yeah, I might have to rethink some things, but I wouldn't have to rethink a whole lot of things.
That's right.
What are you talking about? It's like, what if we discovered the world is actually round? Do you know that they used to actually kill people for thinking that?
Wow. Right.
Look, we got a scripture. It says the four corners of the earth. Hello. Right. You're blaspheming if you think the world is round. Idiots, right? So I'm like, okay. So if you stump me with something, I go, oh, wow. I don't know how that works. It doesn't mean I don't know how the kingdom works. It means I don't know how that works.
That's right. That's right.
That's number one. And you just got to get over this thing of you think you got everything figured out. The second thing is this. The issue is not to me if they're aliens or if they're not aliens. Mm-hmm. Now, you asked me a weird question. I'm going to tell you.
It's great.
The issue to me is, are they of God's camp or not?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what if there's a planet out there, and I'm not saying there is, what if there's a planet out there and God created a sinless person on it and they never sinned and there's billions of people on that planet who have never, that planet's not fallen. What if, I could go off on all kinds
this
of
this is awesome. Go, go.
Oh, really?
Go.
You like this?
This is amazing.
Y'all are from
Thank
Seattle.
Thank you for going there
Listen,
with me, Pastor.
You go to hell for thinking this in Johnson County, Texas.
If they don't like it, they
it's
can leave. I mean,
proof
it's the
of heresy,
internet.
Just turn it off.
If you don't like it, you can turn it off.
Dang,
watch
Skippy,
my interview with someone else.
Thanks for dragging all
Come
this
on.
Out of me.
We're going to talk about Bigfoot next.
I was trying to talk about smart stuff.
Come on.
I actually had some people thinking, that guy's got his act together. Now they're like, hey, I'm out.
This is awesome. This go
but
there.
No,
sorry.
So look here. Just because, all right, let's say a UFO is actually something that is alien. Just because there is something physical out there doesn't mean that it is of God's camp or not of God's camp. I want to know whose camp you with.
Wow.
They show up and don't know nothing about Jesus, I'm concerned about that.
Yeah.
If they're not part of the kingdom, I'm concerned about that.
Yeah.
If they show up and they're a part of the kingdom, I'm going to hear what they have to say, and I want to know what that's all about. You're like, oh, wait, are you talking about aliens? All right. You asked me a question.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're 14 years old. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Number one, if you see something and you don't understand it, you're not allowed to come to a faithless conclusion. And that's on you. Like, oh my gosh, I swear, I saw something weird. Therefore, I'm questioning God. What? You can't do that. You have to, just because you see something or something happens that you don't have an understanding for, does not give you an excuse to come to a godless or a faithless conclusion. And this is a common thing, Pastor Aaron, that the devil does all the time. The devil is a lawyer, and
wow.
he works
it's
like
true.
This.
It's true.
He says, okay, love is blind, yes or no? Yes or no? Is love blind? Everybody just say yes.
Yes.
God is love. Yes or no?
Yes.
Then Stevie Wonder is God.
Totally. Totally.
Okay, you can go, yes, yes. Oh, well, I guess I have to say yes to that because I said yes to this. Yes, don't do that.
That's a good
point. You cannot do that. That's a lawyer's trick.
That's a good point.
That's what a lawyer does. Isn't it true that so-and-so? Yes. Isn't it true so-and-so? Then it has to be true this. No. Listen, we come to conclusions all the time that are fear-based.
That's right.
And insecurity-based because we come across stuff that we don't understand. So I'm not going to make fun of anybody if they saw some weird light. I saw a weird light in here last night that moved right across the stage. I saw it, and it was a blue light that moved right across the stage last night. Was it alien? It was angelic. I know for a fact it was angelic. Did anybody in here know the blue light? I don't know if anybody saw it last night or whatever.
But Tony saw it. Yeah.
I saw it several different times. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool, whatever that is. I don't know exactly what that is. I believe with all my heart there's a ministering spirit. I believe that is normal in the kingdom.
Yes.
I just think it's not normal in most Christianity because most Christians need to be reached by King Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
And so a lot of Christian people are not kingdom people. So I don't know if that answers your question, but if aliens land... If there were such thing as aliens, if they landed at the White House tomorrow, I would still be a drop dead sold out Jesus freak.
Absolutely.
The moment they landed and 10 minutes after they landed. And if I could witness to them, if they need Jesus, I'm going to share Jesus with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
I have a story about that, by the way.
You do. Evangelizing aliens.
Yes.
Let's go there.
Let's go deeper. Okay.
Come on.
I got a story about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Look.
Did you ever see Mars Attacks?
I did see Mars Attacks.
Are you for Jesus?
Okay. So, to listen to this. If you think, oh, that's weird, wait till y'all hear this because you're going to love this. All right, when I got saved in 1986, I joined a Christian rock band, toured all over the place, and part of my spiel that I would get up is I would tell everybody I was so on fire for Jesus. I actually did this in a radio interview when I was like 20 years old, and it stuck. And people started asking me, is it true that you said this? I went, yes, it's true. It was just awesome. And it was just a moment of brilliance on my part where someone asked me, Troy, I know you're famous for like going and preaching to prostitutes, and you're famous for like you guys playing bars, and y'all do all this stuff, and you're like fearless, and you'll reach anybody for Jesus. If there's any place in the world that you've never been able to preach and would be your ultimate preach place, what would it be? And I just blurted out, the bar scene in Star Wars. And I just blurted it out. Yeah, you got it.
Weirdo. Yeah.
I'm like, yay, that's what I'm talking about. And they were like, brilliant. So then all these reporters started asking me, man, when I was a kid, they wanted me to say it. And I knew what they wanted me to say. And it just made me look cool. And it was funny. And I'd get up when I did my spiel on stage and whatnot. I'd be talking about everybody. Man, take Jesus into the unknown. Don't be afraid. If I had a chance, I'd preach the bar scene in Star Wars. Okay. Now, fast forward, that was 86. Fast forward, 1994, 1995. My first cousin, okay, marries Peter Mayhew, the guy who is Chewbacca the Wookiee. I have a cousin that's a Wookiee.
And you knew Chewbacca the Wookiee?
I knew him very well. I've been... Close
you should have that on your website.
He just died this last year, I was one of only 200 people at his funeral.
Really?
Yeah, we had less than 200 people at the funeral, I was actually at the funeral, and it was crazy cool. I love
Peter. Do your
Peter.
Voicemail like, hello, so, you.
Yes. So I got to go to Star Wars conventions. I got to go to Star Wars conventions. I got to go to all the premieres. I got to do all that with Peter.
That's incredible.
Oh,
that is so cool.
All right. So. When
you just
comes,
ranked up with me,
oh,
right?
Listen, I'm like, awesome. Yeah. Don't think I'm not awesome.
Yeah, you had me at Chewbacca.
Listen, dude, you have no idea what a bad motor scooter I am. So I get it. So the deal was when Attack of the Clones came out, he was not written in the script. Chewbacca was not supposed to be in the Attack of the Clones. And we all heard about it. So Open Door Church went into fasting and prayer for 30 days.
Yeah, ow.
That they would rewrite the script and that Chewbacca the Wookiee would be put into it so that Peter would have a job, because Peter hadn't had a job in 20-something years. He'd just done Star Wars conventions. And that was, you know, he's 7'2", and he he had to have this job. He had to have it.
Wow.
And so we literally fasted and prayed. And we used the scripture that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord.
Wow.
And we prayed that God would change George Lucas's heart and put Chewbacca back into it. So, you know, normal Christian stuff that churches do. So he was rewritten into it.
Pastor, why are we fasting again?
Yeah, you know? Because we want Chewbacca in Star Wars. Right. That's why.
Right.
It makes total sense to me, man. So, and it made sense to my tribe. So we did. And God did it. And God touched his heart. And
so awesome.
And he rewrote the script. And George Lucas rewrote the script. And he put Peter back in. Peter had a job. And it was like the family was like, oh, happy day, man. It was awesome. Okay, so Attack of the Clones comes out. And they have world premieres in several different places. They have one in L.A. They have one in Dallas. They have one in New York. They have one in Paris. They have one in London, right?
Yeah.
I got to go to the one in Dallas. And it was the first time that I had ever been to a digital seminar. I'd never seen a digital seminar before. I'd never seen that before. And they had, it was a megaplex too. They had like 30 something different places, right? So I'm like, okay, cool. Well, what happened is when you go to this, there's like the A list, the B list, the C list, the D list, and so on. And because I'm the cousin of Chewbacca, they're like in like screen one, you got George Lucas and you got Harrison Ford and Peter's in there and all the main guys. And then in the second one, you got so-and-so. I am like in the theater that only has like 50 people in it. I'm like on the Z list. That's where I'm at, right? And then they all start at the same time. And so I'm sitting in there with my bride, and I'm getting ready to watch the premiere of Star Wars on a digital screen, and I've never seen it before. And I'm like, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so cool. And we're sitting there, and I'm like, I'm talking and shooting the bull, and all these Brits are all sitting around me, right? And they're cracking up because I had a lot worse accent 20-some-odd years ago than I do now. This is the refined and cultured version of me.
Right.
But back in the day, I was quite the hillbilly, and I'm talking, and they're just listening to me talking. They're just busting out laughing. They're like, God, we love Texas. And I'm like, well, y'all need to come out to my place, and we'll all be friends. Y'all come out, man, and I'll take you here, and I'll take you there. And I'm like, so what are you doing here? What do you do in the movie? And I'm like, I don't do anything in the movie. I'm saying, I'm Peter's cousin. And they're like, you're related to Peter? I said, yeah. And they're like, we love Peter. And I said, yeah, I do too, man. He's just so cool. And his wife, Angie, is my cousin. And we all love each other. And it's just awesome. And they're like, well, that's great. I'm like, so what do you guys do? And they said, well, we don't do anything. We're out of business now, this whole digital thing. I'm like, well, what did you do before that? Well, we were puppeteers. You know, we're puppeteers. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, basically, we're the bar scene in Star Wars.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there.
And
like,
I love
what?
The reaction too, by the way. Like, I'm like, I was in the bar scene and started, oh!
Well, I want you to know.
That's so awesome.
I want you to know.
Revival just hit.
No.
That was so good.
A fear came upon me because I was scared. My chair was going to fall out from under me, and I was going to go straight to hell because I had been telling everybody for 20 years, if I had a chance, I'd preach to the bar scene in Star Wars.
Get out.
And I'm like, this is the bar scene in Star Wars? Like, what are the odds of that? Oh. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I look and it's got a countdown and it says like 3:21. And I'm like, I'm like, wait, listen. Listen, you guys, listen, I'm a preacher and I love Jesus with all my heart. And they're like, yeah. And I said, and I play in a Christian rock band. And I've been telling everybody for 20 some odd years, if I ever had a chance, I'd share Jesus in the bar scene of Star Wars. And I'm sitting at the bar scene of Star Wars. And you guys got to let me share Jesus. I got 1:42 left. And they're like, okay. And I was like, for God so loved the world. And you gotta know this. And all the way down to 5 seconds. And I went, whoo, I did it. And they all started clapping. And the lights went out and Star Wars started. So don't tell me you can't preach to aliens.
That is incredible. That is so
If they
crazy.
Show up,
don't tell
I'm
going
to preach Jesus to aliens. I have already preached to the bar scene in Star Wars.
That is so awesome.
In your face.
Yeah, that is so awesome. And we're going to edit that and make that its own clip. The title will be Preaching the Gospel to Aliens. And we're going to get like 1 million views. And that's awesome. I love that story.
Okay, my friends, listen, I'm about to jump in here. For the sake of time, I'm actually going to divide this up, and part two is going to be on next week's podcast. And I encourage you, man, to be waiting for it, look for it, be a part of it, because this interview just gets better and better and better. Now, if you want to see this in its entirety, this is one of the videos that is in my special content section of troybrewer.tv that is free for everybody who partners with me. And I have all of my School of Ministry, I have all of my School of Prophecy, I have all my Numbers That Preach videos, I have all of my conferences are on there, all of my pulpit teaching, and then anytime I have special guests, we have those videos on there as well. And I want to tell you, man, that if you're helping me save boys and girls out of sexual trafficking all over the world by partnering with me at troybrewer.com, I'm giving you free access to every video resource I have. It's point click, have your life changed, and you can go there and you can look for it. All right, friends, until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.